God is the author of music. But like so many things, man has perverted what God made beautiful. But that was wonderful. And there will be music in heaven. And it's going to be music like we've never heard. Thank the Lord. Why don't you go over to the Psalm, 37th Psalm. 37th Psalm. We're going to read this Psalm. While you're finding it, as you know, I've been praying about where to go on Sunday night. I still don't have any clear direction as to what we're going to do in a series on Sunday night, because I usually do series Sunday night. So apparently the Lord has some other things, and we've had some other things on Sunday night. But I was getting ready for this Sunday night, and I was praying, and suddenly somebody called me and said, "Did you hear?" I said, "Hear what?" "Welcome to Sodom and Gomorrah." They said the Supreme Court handed down their ruling. And honestly, my heart sank. It did. It was like somebody just, you know, gave you one of those punches in the gut. I really, really didn't believe they'd do that. I had faith that they were going to be honest, sincere, upright, do the right thing. And they didn't. So I say, it kind of threw me for a loop. And it took me a little while to get back engaged, so to speak. And I said, "Now, Lord, what am I going to preach to my people on Sunday? No doubt they feel like I do." I said, "Lord, I need something. I need you to show me something here. I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated." And he took me right here at 37th Psalm. And I said, that's what we need tonight. So let's look at it. Psalm 37. God says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be..." You listening? Amen. "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Amen. Father, thank you for this wonderful psalm. Thank you for the balm that it brings to our heart in our troubled times. Thank you for revealing once again to us that the wicked may triumph right now, but their day is coming. Help us tonight as we look to this psalm. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we need that salving that only you can do. We need that comfort that only you can give. We need that confidence that you're in control. And even though things look so dark and bleak for us, that one day we'll graduate to glory, and one day the wicked will perish. Help us never to forget that. In Jesus' name, amen. When the wicked triumph, we who are alive today are seeing the slow and steady destruction of what has been for nearly 250 years the greatest nation to ever exist on earth. The United States of America has from her beginning begun a country of freedom and liberty to its citizens. America has also been from her beginnings a nation founded upon and guided by the principles and precepts of God's Word and God Himself. Sadly, America has the last 50 years undergone tremendous changes. The decline was made very evident in America in 1961 to 1963 when the Bible and prayer was taken out of our schools. It wasn't long after that we saw that the teaching of creation in our schools was banned and evolution was mandated, taking away the very Creator. A movement began to remove the words under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. We've seen the required removal of crosses, nativity scenes, Bible verses, the Ten Commandments, and anything else that would reflect and represent Christian religion. The IRS has gone after Christian organizations. Churches, schools, etc., taking away their tax-exempt status, trying to put them out of business. Preachers and soul winners have been put in jail for spreading the gospel. On and on we could go with the things that we've seen digressing spiritually in our country. And of course, last week, the ruling of the Supreme Court that the law of our land is that homosexuals must be recognized in marriage. On and on we can go, listing this incessant attack of the liberals of America on God and His people. The foregoing that I've given you, if dwelt upon, can be very frustrating, depressing, aggravating. Why? Because it seems like the wicked are winning. Be honest. How many of you have felt that way? It seems like the wicked are winning this thing. Well, they're having some victories, but they're not winning. Yeah, it seems like they're having their way in everything. But we have to come back to the Word of God and keep the right perspective on what's going on. In Psalm 37, we find the salve for our spiritual wounds that have been inflicted by the wicked and the ungodly. In this psalm, God reveals to us and reminds us that while the wicked may be prospering today, God is still on the throne, God is still in control, and their heyday will come to an end in God's time. And He's going to judge them. But in the meantime, what about now, preacher? In the meantime, we must find our strength and our help from God and His Word to sustain us in our days of adversity. Let's look at this psalm. Let's notice some things about this psalm. Look first of all and see, he gives us a plan to follow. He says there in verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and withers the green herb." But here's what he tells us. He says, don't get despondent and in despair and depressed. Listen, here's what God's saying. Don't let the circumstances overtake you. Heard about a preacher one time. He asked a fellow how he was doing. He said, well, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. And the preacher said, what are you doing under the circumstances? You got the Lord. You need to be on top of the circumstances. Don't let them pull you down and drown you. So he says, look, don't fret yourself about the evildoers. And don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. Because their day's coming. And then he says this, maintain your walk with God. And he goes through some things in our walk with God. He says, first of all, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Listen, we need to keep our faith. So, well, look at what's happening. Yeah, keep your faith. Do you realize the attacks against God's people have been going on for, well, since way back in the Old Testament? And you know, we as Christians have really enjoyed the freedoms of America. But see, we're losing those. And we're now having to function like many other Christians in the world have had to function. In a lot of ways, under that thumb of the government, under that threat. But don't get under the circumstances, just trust God. He's still in control. Hey, God didn't step down last night and say, let the liberals have it. No, He's still over them. Listen, God could have overruled that whole thing last week if He wanted to. He had the power to do it. The king's heart's in His hand. But God is allowing wicked man, the ungodly, to play it out. Because their day's coming. He says, trust in the Lord. Trust in His sovereignty. And then look at the next verse. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Keep your heart and mind focused on Him. Think on spiritual, good, positive things. Listen, if I dwell on what's going on, I'm going to get depressed. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to get frustrated. I'm going to get fed up. And so are you. Well, how do we fight that? We don't dwell on it. We say, okay, that's the way it is. That's what they've decided. I'm not living that way. I'm just going to go on for the Lord. And get your nose in the book and get some blessings from God and thank God and come to church and see people get saved and see people come back to the church house and see people get right with God and be encouraged. If we focus on circumstances, we do get depressed. And then look what else he says, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. Commit your way. Hey, Just make up your mind, I'm not going to quit. I am not going to quit. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to let them roll over me. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm a soldier. I'm a Marine for Jesus. Where'd you go, Charlie? And I'm in a war, and I'm not giving up. When did John Paul Jones have said, "Sirs, I have not yet begun to fight"? Was that him? I love that. You know, he's in that naval battle. And I mean, he's taking a licking. And the British yell, "Hey, you want to surrender?" And he said, "Sirs, I have not yet begun to fight." That's the way we ought to be. "Hey, we're taking some hits." "Yeah, but the boat's going to stay afloat." Why? Because we've got Jesus on board. We need to put ourselves completely into God's hands to guide us and sustain us. And by the way, when he says commit your way to the Lord, that means we don't compromise. Amen. When a government says, "Well, if you'll do this, we'll leave you alone." And we say, "Well, if it's against the word of God, we ain't doing it." "Well, we'll close your church." "Well, you do what you have to do, but we're not going to compromise." Remember Daniel? Daniel said, "I'll not compromise." Remember the three Jew boys? "We're not going to bow. We'd rather burn." Was their God able to take care of them? Listen, we're not there yet, but it could come to where Christians are going to be martyred here. I hope you understand there are Christians being martyred all over this world. And most of it's by Muslims. And when I say martyred, I'm talking about awful deaths, cutting heads off and all that kind of stuff. Doing atrocious things to women and children. That's going on in the world because they're Christian. That's why it's happening to them. You say, "Well, what if it comes to us? What if they start martyring people here?" Well, the worst thing they can do is kill you, and that's not so bad because you're going to be with Jesus. How many people in the Old Testament we find were martyred? How many people in the New Testament? You know, just about every one of the disciples was martyred. Huh? Listen, we need to commit ourselves to God. I'm a Christian. I'm going to live as a Christian. Nothing's going to change me. You know, I wonder when this gets worse. And I believe it's going. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. But I see the direction, and I think it's going to get worse. Would you agree? You say, "Well, we got an election coming up." Listen, Washington isn't the answer. The White House isn't the answer. Now, it would be a help to get a Christian in the White House and somebody who has some biblical principles in his life. Huh? But that's not going to correct our country. Revival is the only hope we have. And here's the problem with that. We've got so many churches full of unsaved people. Huh? How are we going to have revival? We got a bunch of tares in with the wheat. We need to pray. But listen, he says, commit your way to the Lord. Just make up your mind. I'm going on. And then look at the next verse. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Oh my. Hardest thing you ever do is wait on God. Say amen. We don't like to wait on God. We think when we pray, God ought to answer. Huh? We've got this attitude. I'm talking to you. You need to hear me and answer. Woe is me. Listen, God don't work on your timetable. Figure that out yet? See, we have this idea, everything happens when I say. No, not with God. And he's got a timetable and he's working all this out. And we just have to wait on him. Well, when's he going to take care of those wicked people? What about those Supreme Court justices? What about Congress? What about our president? What about Harrisburg? What about all these politicians passing all these laws and these judges that are ruling take the Ten Commandments out? What about all of them? God will take care of it. In his time. Not for us to take care of it. Wait on him. And he adds this, cease from anger. Amen. Do you get angry about it? Be honest. You know, it's okay to be angry sometimes. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. There are some things we should be angry about. I think what happened last week, we ought to be angry about. But be careful about your anger. Don't let it turn to wrath. And let me give you a tip. Don't act in anger. See, I learned a long time ago, when you act in anger, you're going to mess something up. You're not in your right mind. You're not thinking spiritually when you're acting in anger. So he says there, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So we see, number one, there's a plan to follow. Put it in the Lord's hands. Stay close to God. Let him take care of it. Then we see this. We see a piteous judgment coming. A pitiless judgment. Look at verse 12. Well, from 9 on, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, it shall not be. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such and be of upright conversion. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Their bow shall be broken. I think of Haman. Remember Haman in Esther there? Remember how he plotted against God's people and they were all supposed to be killed and he had the gallows built for Malachi and he was going to have Malachi hung. And who got hung on his gallows? Yeah, he hung on his own gallows. See, that's the kind of God we have. Man, get encouraged. God knows what's going on and God's going to take care of it. And there's going to be a judgment and there will be no pity in that day. See, the wicked prosper today. Face it, they prosper materially, don't they? We see, you know, the drug dealers driving these big, fancy, expensive cars and buying expensive houses and wearing expensive clothes. And we say, oh, they're drug dealers. Yeah, they're prospering today, but their day's coming. There's a verse here. It says, a little, verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Don't be envious of them. Rejoice in the little bit you have because one day they're going to lose it all and have nothing but suffering and torment forever. They prosper materially. Their ungodly, unscrupulous, unprincipled lifestyle brings material wealth. You ever get fed up with the government and all the deals that are made and the money that they accrue? It's interesting how many people have been sent to Congress or the Senate, and they go in as just regular everyday people with no money, and when they're done, they're millionaires. Huh? Does it ever bother you? Bothers me sometimes. I say, wow, look at that. And then they get a pension for life. Yeah, look at them prospering. Yeah, but I got to come back to. They don't have what I have. They have a big bank account. They have a lot of nice material things, but they don't have what I have. I can go to bed and sleep at night in peace. I can get up every day and do what I'm supposed to do in peace, knowing I have a God who's taking care of me. Amen? They party immorally. We see, oh my, the fleshly delights that the wicked are enjoying. We don't want to go there. They rule governmentally. And by the way, we're told that in Ephesians 6, that we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. You wonder how some of these things are happening in our capital and in our government? We got wickedness ruling over there. Listen, Satan knows how to get his way. Don't you think he's influencing our government? And they're going along with it. They make laws in opposition to God and His Word. Do you ever wonder how these men and women in Washington and Harrisburg and all can make decisions that they absolutely know flies in the face of Almighty God with no fear. Listen, if I was a Supreme Court justice, if for no other reason I would have ruled in favor of the Bible out of fear that there is a God. They have no fear. They push their agenda and they have no fear. They'll find out one day. That's how they can do what they do. You say, well, how come they don't have fear? Well, if you read Corinthians, Paul says Satan has blinded their minds. And so they have no fear of God. They'll rule against God any time and every time. They refuse to acknowledge God. As I said earlier, they deny Him as the Creator. They deny Him as the righteous judge in all matters. And then they attack God's people. See, their goal is to rid America of us. You say, preacher, that's kind of extreme. No, that's their goal. Why? Because we're holding America back. That's their position. Listen, we were holding America back when we stood against abortion. We were holding America back when we stood against homosexuality. We're holding America back when we stand for what God says, keeping the Ten Commandments posted and keeping crosses and all that. We're holding America back. See, we got a bunch of progressives. Figure out what that one is. And so they're wanting to have their way, and they want to discredit and deter and defeat the cause of Christ. Listen, they would love nothing better than to close every fundamental Baptist, Bible-preaching, evangelical church in America. That would make their day. How wicked is that? But that's where they are. Why? Because we're the opposition. When they come up with these things that are so ungodly and humanly speaking, and just all about the human way and discrediting God, we stand against it and say, oh, you're just holding us back. But God says the wicked are going to incur His judgment. He says in verse 13, His day is coming. He says in verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and withers the grass herb. Verse 20, by the way, I like Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to go there for a minute. And I have to chuckle every time I read this. Proverbs 1. And we get down here in Proverbs 1. We get down to verse 24. And God says this, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not, all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You get what that means? You wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't have anything to do with me. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. We were coming home. We had to go to a wedding yesterday over in Lenhart's. We were coming home, and there was a man on the radio, Christian radio. No, it was secular radio. But this was a man. Now, he was a Roman Catholic man who obviously, from what his discussion, wrote a book in the late 90s. Late 90s. He had studied a lot of things about prophecy and all, and he was saying this, and I'm going to kind of summarize this. He said, America better wake up. This is in the late 90s. This is a Roman Catholic man. He said, America better wake up. The prophecies are in the Bible. And the warning that if we keep going down the road we're going, America is going to suffer calamities. Late 90s? What happened in 2001? Listen, I believe wholeheartedly that was a warning from God. Hey, America, better wake up. What's been happening ever since? Listen, I know you find it hard to believe. I'm 66 years old. I've seen a lot of things in my days, but I've never seen weather patterns. I've never seen fires and earthquakes and things come to America like we've seen lately. How about a Katrina? How about a Sandy? How about some of these other things? You think God's not dealing with America? How about our kids going into schools and just killing other kids? How about a man going to church, sitting through a prayer meeting, right beside the preacher, and when it's all done, killing 9 people? Huh? Listen, I believe God's judgment is going to be on America. I believe it's already started. The hand of blessing has been removed. What was once the greatest country in the world is now a laughingstock in a lot of places. What was once feared, the greatest military might that's ever been on the face of the earth, is now laughed at. Listen. His wrath is going to be on them. And you say, well, how far are they going to go? As far as they can. I'm talking about in wickedness. When I was Aiden's age, we had Ozzy and Harriet on the television. Any of you remember Ozzy and Harriet? They were the only couple that were allowed to use the same bed in any kind of a scene because they were married. Remember Dick Van Dyke? How many of you remember Dick Van Dyke show? Remember they had twin beds? See, you couldn't show that kind of stuff on television. Ed Sullivan had Elvis Presley when he hit the big time. Some of you remember. They were not allowed to show from his waist down because of his gyrations. Language on the television, you didn't use bad words. Never. Look at it today. Well, we've come a long way, haven't we? Movies. I mean, Hollywood's always been Hollywood. Let's face it. But nudity? Listen, if somebody wanted to watch that kind of stuff, they went to what they called XXX rated movies. You know, they were... And nobody wanted to for other people to know you went there. Because you were a sicko. Now we got adult bookstores. How far are they going to go? As far as they can. Listen, we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. That Supreme Court ruling said, in essence, you can't stand in the way of love. If two people love each other, they should be able to be married. Well, now we're going to see, and I see it down the road, the polygamist is going to be in court. And he's going to say, well, wait a minute, I love 5 women. I have a right to be married to 5 women because I love them all. And the next thing, believe it or not, is going to be somebody wanting to marry, some guy wanting to marry a 9-year-old girl. By the way, they do it over in the Arab countries. And the next thing, somebody's going to want to marry their billy goat. That's where it's going. We've taken the lines away. There are no more lines. That's where we're going. And we got to live in this world. But don't be discouraged because God's still in control. And he says, hey, here's what he says over in Romans chapter 1. God already talked about all this. And he said they wanted to worship the creature more than the creator. And he said they were going to do these homosexual things and all that. You know what he said about them? He's going to give them over to a reprobate mind to do those things. You know what that means? Here's what it means. God is going to say to them, okay, if that's how you want it, go for it. I'm not going to deal with you anymore in your heart and in your mind. They will not get saved. they will be so reprobate that they're not going to be able to be saved. God is going to let them go. You know, sometimes with children, you got to say, okay, you want it your way? Have it your way. And let them suffer the consequences. And that's what God's doing. I think that's what's happening to our country. God said, okay, you want it that way? Hey, you've been blessed for 200 and some years, but you want to turn your back? Go ahead. See where it takes you. And he's saying where it's going to take them. So we see the wicked triumph, but there's a plan to follow, and there's a pitiless judgment to come, and there's a promised provision. In verses 22 through 33, he talks about how he's going to take care of his people. He says in verse 23, he's going to give us guidance. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Listen, when it's dark and we can't see the way to go, he's going to direct us. Give us wisdom. And God's way will be one of delight, unlike the way of the wicked. By the way, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, we think they're having all the fun. We think it's all roses for them. Man, they're enjoying everything. Listen, some of us have lived on that side. And we know how empty everything they have really is. You know what Solomon found out? Maybe I'll preach a message on Solomon. He tried it all. And when it was all done, I mean, he had every pleasure you could have. He said, it's all empty. God says in verse 24, he's going to strengthen his children. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And then God's going to provide in verse 25, talks about he's never seen the righteous begging bread. Listen, God's going to take care of us. You know, a lot of people worried about, well, when all this happens, you better store up food, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm all for being, wise in preparation. But I believe no matter what happens, God's going to take care of his people. He's going to take care of our needs. And then he brings security in verses 26 through 33. God says in verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Listen, we have security in the Lord. We have security that God promises to protect us physically. Now, let me caution you, that doesn't mean something bad can't happen to you. What it means is, nothing bad can happen to you unless God lets it happen. You say, well, if nothing bad is going to happen to us, how come Christians get martyred? Because God allows it. Well, that's cruel. Why? They're just going to heaven. And they're going to stand for the Lord. And they're going to leave this mess we're in and go to a wonderful place up there. I believe this with all my heart. We are more or less invincible until God's done with us. See, unless we wantonly decide we're going to take our own life, I don't believe we can die until God's done with us. Huh? I remember, I think it was John R. Rice was preaching one day, and he was shucking the corn. And he was plowing down some people's roads, and one fellow got upset, and he was carrying a gun. And he just came up to the pulpit, and he stuck a gun in his head, and he said, shut up! Shut up! If you say another word, I'm going to blow your brains out. And this little John R. Rice, he used to wear these glasses down here, and he'd look, big old man, you know, he'd look, well. He said, he looked at that fellow and said, you can't scare me with heaven. And he went right on preaching. We need to understand that. We're in God's hands. And we're invincible until he's done with us. A plan to follow. A pitiless judgment's going to come. Boy, God's not going to show them any grace or mercy. A promised provision. And then the patience is required here in verse 34. He said, wait on the Lord. Keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. One day, Jesus, I preached about the rapture this morning and how he's going to come and take us to heaven. But see, 7 years later, we're coming back. What are we coming here for? Because he's coming, and he's going to have that battle of Armageddon. He's going to defeat the armies of the world, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And we're going to rule and reign with him. See, now it won't be the wicked having the power. It's going to be the righteous having the power. That day's coming. Now, see, we need to remember all this. When we're in this storm, when we're in the trouble, when things look dark, when things look bleak, when we're wondering, where's God? He's right where he's always been. He hasn't moved a lick. Patience is required. We're to keep his ways. Keep running our race. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Let judgment to the wicked to him. Don't get frustrated and irritated and aggravated. And then finally, when the wicked triumphs, we see a place of refuge. Verses 39 and 40 are so precious. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall keep them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Psalm 91, have you ever read that? He's our protector. The picture there in Psalm 91 in those early verses is like a hen putting their wings over its little chicks. And I heard a story about a man had a hen house. A hen house caught fire. Hen house burned. And when the fire was all done, most of his chickens were dead. He went in there and he walked over. And in the corner of that hen house, one of his chickens was there with her wings. And when he picked the chicken up, her little peeps were still under there alive. She died protecting her chicks. Listen, God can't die, but he's like an old mother hen to us. And he puts us under those wings. And he says, child, nothing can get to you because I'm protecting you. We need to understand that. We need to get back to that. We need to say, hey, I don't like what's going on in Washington. I don't like what's going on in our country. I don't like what's happening in our schools. I don't like any of this that's a wicked or prospering. God don't like it either. But it's what has to be. See, because we read all about the prophecies. Go over to 2 Timothy 3. And here's where I believe we are. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Paul writes, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, materialistic, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that's out of control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Does that sound like today's newspaper? Does that sound like an assessment of our society today? I think it does. And remember this, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Noah? Wicked. Totally wicked. And so, he's talking there about the great tribulation period. And that's how the world has to be when the tribulation comes. And so, it has to progress to that place, and that's where we are today. That's why I said this morning, I believe the rapture is soon. And I'm going to be real honest with you. Seeing what I'm seeing, seeing what lies ahead, if we continue this route in America, I hope it is real soon. See, because I got kids and I got grandkids and I got great-grandkids that I don't want to see have to live through that. I'd rather we all go to heaven. Yes? And let this whole world do what it's going to do for 7 years, but I'd rather we all go to heaven. Spend eternity with Him. Well, many of us this week were kind of knocked out of the saddle a little bit. Irritated, frustrated, aggravated. But let's come back. Let's come back to Psalm 37. And understand. God is going to deal with the wicked in His time. And God is going to take care of His people during this time. Just trust Him. Stand firm. Stand fast. Trust Him. He's got it all under control. Let's pray.